Good morning to each one of you, and it's a gift to be here together worshiping God. As Brother David was talking about the gift that we can bring to Jesus, my mind went to Malachi, where the prophet says that you're bringing gifts to God that the governor wouldn't even accept. God says it through the prophet. You're sheep and goats are lame, and they have diseases, and the governor wouldn't accept them, and you bring them to me. I've preached a sermon, Ways That Men Rob God, from Malachi, and one of those thoughts is that if our gift that we bring to God, if our sacrifice that we bring to God was revealed as an animal this morning, how healthy would it look? It's an interesting thought to think about, and connects with Brother David's thought of the thought that counts and the adoration that comes from our heart, because if we truly do adore God, we're going to bring him a sacrifice that he would be pleased with. And of course, Romans tells us that he desires a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is only our reasonable service. And so, what sacrifices have we brought this morning to our worship? I realized that Thanksgiving came and went without a message on Thanksgiving, and as I meditated on what to preach, my mind kept circling back to how important thankfulness is, and so I thought I would bring a belated Thanksgiving sermon this morning, entitled Cultivating a Thankful Heart. You know, as we think about our attitudes and moods, there are healthy opposites. Joy and grief are opposites, and both of them are righteous when they're connected to reality. When there's a reason to be joyful, our hearts are filled with joy, and when there is a reason to be sad or grieving, our lives can reflect that, and both are righteous. It's not wrong to be joyful, and it's not wrong to grieve. But when we think about a thankful heart, the opposite of being thankful is to be unthankful, and that's not a righteous response. That's not an option. The scripture doesn't give room for those two different attitudes in our lives. It's quite clear that we are to have a thankful heart. And I believe that thankfulness is a key ingredient to a worshipful heart and a healthy mind. And that's what I'd like to expound on this morning. Thankfulness is a key ingredient to a worshipful heart and a healthy mind. The scripture emphasizes how serious unthankfulness is. We can think back into Old Testament history and how, as the children of Israel left Egypt, they began to murmur and complain. And a number of times, God punished them very seriously for their murmuring and complaining. And we can ask ourselves, why did God address that so seriously? Was it because he is harsh? I don't believe it was. I believe the reason God addressed it so seriously is because he understood how foundational thankfulness is for us to exist and thrive and do well in the portion of life that is given to each one of us. And God understands our makeup because he has made us. And over in the scripture, it teaches us to be thankful, to express thanksgiving, to praise. And it's not just because that God needs all of that, even though it is rightfully his to ask for. It's also because it's the best mindset that we can have. To be thankful means to be grateful. It's an attitude of appreciation to someone else for their kindness. Thankful people are pleasant to be around and to speak to. It's an attitude of gratitude we sometimes coin. To be grateful and thankful are stepping stones to worship. They are attitudes that prepare me to worship. It is accurate to say that unthankful people don't worship. And maybe if you have a different thought, you can share that in testimony time. But as I meditate on that, this thankfulness is such a core part of core stepping stone to worship that I don't believe unthankful people worship God. They worship themselves. Thankful people are happy people. Thankful people are unselfish. Thankful people are pleasant to be around. And it's the truth that thankfulness immediately places your mind's focus on someone else, something else, especially, most importantly, on God, but on others. It acknowledges that I am surrounded by a myriad of others that contribute large amounts into my life. And of course, foundationally, we want to think about this as thanksgiving to our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer. But it flows out from that into all the people that contribute into our life. And it is a healthy way, and it's God's way to live. My first point in the message is thankful people worship. Turn to the classic scripture, Psalm 100. I'd like us to stand together and read this psalm together. Psalm 100. When you turn to it, you may stand. You may stand. Psalm 100, five verses. Maybe some of you can recite it instead of reading it. Altogether, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his names, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you. You may be seated. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come before his presence with singing, verse 2 says. And I believe that is why we open our services with singing. It is a tradition based on the fact that when you come before a king, you come with a gift. And the gift that God desires from us, come before his presence with singing. And of course, that singing often includes thanksgiving as well. Thankful people worship. Worship begins with a thankful heart. Take a topical Bible and look up worship. Many of the verses listed under that topic will include the concept of thankfulness. It's a very logical sequence. When my thoughts are in the posture of thankfulness, it prepares my heart for the next step of adoration, reverence, and devotion. I don't know how we can worship without first being thankful. And the scripture commands us to come into God's presence with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And so it's important that in our personal worship, in our collective worship, that praise, singing, worship, praise and singing and giving of thanks is part of the normal way in which we have church, and something to think about. If the time of singing has arrived and we're sitting there without singing, have we brought a gift to God along with us to church? How important is it that we sing? Or is it okay to just sit there and let everyone else sing? Something to think about. Number two, thankfulness springs from a recognition of truth. This passage recognizes a number of things. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Thankfulness springs from a recognition of truth. Recognizing the fact that God, our Lord, is God. He is our creator. And He cares for us as a shepherd cares for his sheep. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 3 encapsulates those three thoughts. The Lord is God, He is our creator, and He is a shepherd to us. And thankfulness springs from this truth. As you meditate on that reality this morning, it should naturally bring forth thankfulness. We're thankful this morning that we aren't in a world that is controlled by chaos, but we are in a world in which we have a sovereign God that holds together the universe and who has made us and also shepherds us as a shepherd would care for his sheep. And the third point I'd like to bring from this passage is that thankful people bless God publicly because he is good. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. And this is a thought that I need to have challenge me from time to time. Thankful people bless God publicly because he is good. It's easy to say such things in a setting like this, and especially when our songs say it for us. But how well do we publicly bless God in and around the people that we associate with throughout the week? The stores that we go to, the customers that we relate with, the one-on-one with whoever, our neighbor, is a thankfulness to God part of our conversation? Would they know that we advocate being thankful to God? So thankful people worship. The second point, main point in the message is unthankful people forget God. Deuteronomy 6. Moses gives a warning to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. And it's a warning about becoming unthankful. Verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. And for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Unthankful people forget God, and that's what Moses was warning them to be aware of. And does not verse 10 and 11 fit our situation quite well? There are a few of us that have built our houses here. But many of us live in houses that we didn't build. And much of our life has been received from others that have blessed us in our lives. So many of the good things in our lives come because of situations that we are born into. We are not self-made people. And when we are eaten and are full, what happens? When the day is done, A delicious supper was tucked away and you're relaxing on your easy chair. What happened? What happens? Moses warned the children of Israel to beware lest they forget God at that point. And it's a warning that I need to remember as well. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth. How do you find it in your life? When I find difficult times that I'm going through, it increases my dependence on God. It increases my communication with God. It increases my awareness of the necessity of my relationship with Him. But when things go easy, when the house is warm and there's the stomach is satisfied and life is good, as we say, what happens? What can happen is what Nebuchadnezzar did. He went walking one day in Babylon, and he says, "Look at this great Babylon which I have built." He forgot God, and God humiliated him, humbled him because of that. And this morning, as we think about our attitude towards life and towards our Creator, towards the things that come to us, are we a thankful people, or are we forgetting where our blessings come from? Thankful people worship God. Number two, unthankful people forget God. And thirdly, unthankful people walk into a lifestyle of sin. And this we learn from Romans 1. Romans 1 has a serious reality described to us. Romans 1 and verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Mankind is without excuse because God has made Himself known to them by the world in which they see. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." They didn't glorify Him as God, and neither were they thankful. And then what happens? "But became vain or worthless in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, which is blessed forever. Amen." Unthankful people walk into a lifestyle of sin. Unthankful people do not worship. These individuals knew God because that when they knew God, God was revealed to them. They understood that there was an eternal being that they needed to relate to. When that realization, understanding came to them, they chose not to glorify Him, nor to be thankful towards Him. They didn't give God His rightful place. God will not share His glory with another. We looked at that two Sundays ago. But we also understand that God will share His glory with us if we allow Him to come in and dwell in our hearts. Jesus said, I will come in and sup with you. But these folks, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't give him that throne room of their heart. Neither were thankful. They had no thankfulness in their hearts for what he is or had done with, or had done for them. They were selfish, self-obsessed, no gratitude, no awareness of how indebted we are to God as creator, sustainer, and redeemer. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and we follow on down through there. I believe that that phrase, neither were thankful, is integral to us not walking away from God. It's integral for us not walking into a lifestyle of sin. Is it optional that we can be a complainer, a murmurer, or a thankful person? Is it optional? We just don't feel very thankful this morning, so let's complain about a few things. Well, neither were thankful, but became worthless, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. As I think about that phrase, my mind goes to Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. In Noah's day, their imaginations had become destructive. Violence filled the earth, and God had to bring judgment upon the world and have a reset to stop them from total self-destruction. This is where we can go when we don't give God his rightful place in our lives, neither are thankful towards him. Our imaginations will become worthless, and our hearts will become dark. Their foolish hearts became dark, and life left them, and darkness entered their hearts. We need the light of Jesus in our hearts so that darkness flees. But if the light of Jesus leaves us, darkness will fill our hearts. And so if we don't give God his rightful place in our life, and if we aren't thankful towards him, we will become vain in our imaginations, and our hearts will become darkened. And those following verses depict and describe the downward spiral of a man who has turned away from God and pursued his own worthless imaginations. Their lives spiraled in a downward course as God gave them over to their base and depraved nature, and it's destructive. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. You may ask yourself, does walking away from God actually become destructive? And we can't help but witness that around us, the destruction that comes as a society turns away from God. People's lives are destroyed and existence becomes horrible, and death becomes the normal and darkness. You know, we live in kind of a bubble of life. You come in here and sit on these benches. You go to your home. You sit in your living room. And our homes are filled with life. And some of us are looking forward to some new life arriving in the next couple months. And we're young. We're growing. We don't know what it's like to be the 6 or 7 old people here that used to worship on these benches that were witnessing their community dying. We are surrounded with so much life. But that's because our parents, we have pursued the way of God, which brings life, which is full of life, and which embraces life. And recently I was listening to a man talk about the population of the world and the trajectory of the future and how fast some civilizations will collapse because their reproduction rate is so low. And why is it? Well, in a very basic way, it's because men and women have chosen not to glorify God. Because if you choose to glorify God, you will embrace being a father and a mother and raising children, and your population will grow. But take for China, for instance, a godless country who has imposed the one-child policy for years. It's estimated, I think, in another 30 years that their population will be in about half of what it is today. Kind of a side note. Unthankful people walk into a lifestyle of sin. They end up at a place they never thought they would go. And the root problem is that they didn't glorify God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Fourthly, thankfulness is necessary for a healthy mind. Turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Thankfulness is necessary for a healthy mind. This verse 8, I believe, is a recipe for good mental health. And at the end it says, and if there be any praise, think on these things. If there's anything worthy to be thankful for, think on these things. You know, dark and difficult times can come to the Christian. The Christian is not exempt from dark and difficult times. But even in those times, there is reason to be thankful, and that is the truth that we should embrace this morning. If you care to, turn to Acts 16. We have this little story, and our children, we read this Bible story to our children because there's something fascinating about Paul and Silas. Acts 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas were, well, we'll begin in verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. We read across that so quickly and don't understand the amount of pain and difficulty these men have just experienced. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, I've been dealing with a little bit of pain in my right elbow for the right shoulder for a couple weeks, and I woke up last night and it was hurting pretty bad. And that's, I don't know the intensity of pain of having my back beat with a scourge many times. I don't know what that must be like, but most likely their backs were, the skin was broken open. It was bleeding. There were jagged tears and gashes in their back. And then They were brought into a prison and sat in stocks. Generally, well, stocks are a couple different ways. You can sit on a bench and have your feet locked in them, or sometimes they stood with their hands and head locked in them. Either way, it requires you to sit in one position or be in one position until they're unlocked. Not something that you dream of experiencing. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every one's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Jumping down to verse 33, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." Paul and Silas didn't break out in singing because they knew they were going to be taken care of, that their wounds were going to be washed and bandaged, and they wouldn't be sitting in stocks the rest of the night. That wasn't why they praised. It says they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't singing funeral songs. They weren't singing poor me songs. They were singing praise songs. Dark and difficult times can come to the Christian, but even in those times, there's reason to be thankful. What is astounding is that people can struggle even when they aren't in dark and difficult times. And I believe that the solution to either of those is to be thankful, whether times aren't dark and difficult or whether they are. And so, under this thought of thankfulness being necessary for healthy minds, I have a couple of different points. A, thankfulness is a necessary foundational thought process. I could take time and draw a stick figure on the board and draw little blocks in the person's head, and I would label one of those blocks at the bottom of his mind would be thankfulness. And of course, we could talk about what the other should be in those other blocks, but I believe that thankfulness is a necessary foundational thought process. Cultivating a thankful heart is not living in an imaginary bubble. It's not saying that we say things aren't difficult and that we're living in some utopia. No, it's not. It's rooting our thoughts in a perspective that best prepares us to live well. I'll say this again. Cultivating a thankful heart is not living in an imaginary bubble. Rather, it is rooting our thoughts in a perspective that best prepares us to live well. Colossians 2, verse 7 says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So, it is a perspective that we must have so that we can live well with what portion of life comes to us. Letter B, thankfulness is a help with anxiety. If you're still at Philippians 4, look at verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." We could say this in more common English. Don't be full of cares. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of cares. Release these cares to God through prayer, But remember to be thankful in your requests that you make to God. Why does God teach us to remember to be thankful as we release our cares to Him? It's because He knows that thanksgiving helps us to have the best outlook on life and our portion of life. As we grow up, we think, what is our life going to be like? What opportunities are going to come into our life? Well, as you live your life, after a while you discover that you receive a portion. And we can either embrace that portion or we can chafe under that portion. And when we embrace that portion, we give our cares to God. And in the request that we make known to Him, He teaches us to be thankful. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, thankfulness is a replacement for filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 4 says, well, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks is an antidote for the Christian who's been convicted of his speech. If you realize that your speech has not been God-honoring, what should you do about it? I believe the solution lies in this verse. Fill your speech with giving of thanks. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Fill your speech with giving of thanks, and it will replace the foolish or filthy conversation that you had before. Letter D, thanksgiving is commanded for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you wondering what the will of God is for you this morning? It's quite clear. In everything give thanks. It's not an option for the child of God. It's a requirement. In everything give thanks. In the good things and in the bad things. We have this phrase in our language that says the silver lining of a cloud. Where does that concept come from? Well, it's the understanding that in difficult times, there are still things that give us hope that we can be thankful for, and that's what we need to focus on. What does God want for Keith to do today? He wants him to give thanks for the experiences of life that he is going through. Letter E, thanksgiving is a gift that God wants us to offer him. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What gift does God want us to bring to him this morning? Well, he wants us to bring our lives a living sacrifice, holy and yielded unto him, and that includes the sacrifice of praise on our lips, giving thanks to his name. If you want to be worshipful this morning, if you want a healthy, godly outlook in life, be thankful. You know, we have that little song that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Why is it important to take time and count your blessings? It's to realize that you have much to be thankful for. And perhaps as an encouragement, if you want to share a testimony this morning, don't share a testimony on the message, share a testimony of thankfulness to your Creator. Let's kneel for prayer. Eternal Father in heaven, we're reminded again of your desire for thanksgiving to flow from our hearts as we live here on this earth through good times, through difficult times. I pray, O Father, that you would give us a keen awareness of the necessity of glorifying you from our lives and not neglecting to be thankful. Father, you have given us so much. We enjoy so many blessings, and even in the difficult times, there are so many good things surrounding us. We are surrounded by so many godly people and friends and family and a church brotherhood that cares for us and feeds us and clothes us and teaches us the things of you. And truly, our lines have fallen in pleasant places. And yet, help us not to be forgetful that these things come from you. Nurture in our hearts thankfulness to you, towards Jesus, towards the Holy Spirit, towards those around us, and yea, even the ones that bring difficulty into our lives. Father, draw us to yourself. Reveal yourself more clearly to us. Not in another dimension from your Son, Jesus Christ, but reveal to us your Son to us in a more clear dimension. Open our eyes to who he is and how we should follow him today. Open our eyes to what you would desire from us in the times in which we live. Give us a vision for your kingdom. Help us to work and labor in the portion of our life that you have given to us. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.